And so today should be, blessed are the poor in heart. Taken from Matthew 5, verse 8. Let us bear in mind, and I want to repeat this again for our benefits, that the Beatitudes constitute a portrait of what a true Christian is in the sight of God. Therefore, in this sixth Beatitude, purity of heart is also presented as evidence that the heart has been changed by God Himself. This beatitude is not so much concerned with our external behavior as with our heart condition. To help us understand the sixth beatitude better, it is helpful to begin by looking at what purity of heart is not. The Lord Jesus here is certainly not speaking about cleanliness. The Greek word translated as pure in our text can indeed be translated as clean. It can be that, has that meaning. But our text has nothing to do with outward cleanliness. Neither is our Lord Jesus speaking about courteous behavior, politeness. We know that there are many who are not only trim and proper in their appearance, but their social habits or behavior are outstanding. We have that around us. As a matter of fact, these people, they could be our friends, our colleagues, these people in fact show so much concern for the welfare of their neighbors or their fellow men, and even active in promoting morality in the society, that you will mistake them for Christians. They are so-called well-behaved, and they behave like Christians. So much so that you may make the mistake that, or mistaken them as Christians. But even this is not the purity that the Bible, or in this beatitude, is talking about. Purity of heart is not to be confused with outward profession or appearance. Why is this so? I give you an example. The scribes, the Pharisees, they considered themselves most pure, for they thought that they had kept themselves pure by their outward rituals and forms of righteousness. We see that in the scripture. In fact, if I'm not wrong, I remember that beside all the other laws that are in the Bible, the Pharisees and the scribes has more than a few hundred laws. They wash their hands, they clean themselves and all that. So they think that they kept themselves pure by their outward form of righteousness. But the Lord Jesus disapproves of their self-assessment. He called them what? He called them hypocrites and described them as white sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Matthew 23:27. The purity that the Pharisees and the scribes had was the purity of a beautiful white tomb, which is filled with rotten corpses and bones. This kind of purity is not the purity that the Bible is talking about here, and not in this beatitude. This kind of purity is abominable to the Lord because it is not purity at all. It is plain hypocrisy. Judas Iscariot was like any of the other apostles. He sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He ate with them. He spoke apostolic lingo, if you like. He went out to preach the gospel with them. He do mission work. And all that it is required of an apostle. but he was not pure in heart. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye, referring to the disciples, ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore say he, ye are not all clean. John 13, verses 10 to 11. So we have looked at what purity is not, according to Scripture. So then, we now secondly look at what is purity of heart. What is the difference between purity spoken of by our Lord Jesus and the purity which the world is impressed with? And we all are impressed with people, right, who live a very pure life. And we want to imitate their lifestyle. But this is not what the Beatitude is. The answer is this. The answer is really found in the two words here. Pure in heart. In heart. What is the heart? It is the innermost part of a person's being. The Lord Jesus is referring to the spiritual being of a person. You may call it the inner man. It is the soul. By calling it the heart, our Lord emphasizes that it is that part of a person that is foundational to his or her emotions and affections, his or her intellect and the will, and which determines his or her character and deportment. That is how the Bible defines the heart, the human heart. And that is why the preacher Solomon advises us this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Purity of heart is this. Purity of heart is therefore spiritual purity. It is not just about the outward appearance. And so you may ask, what is spiritual purity? When we speak of or talk of purity, when we speak of pure gold, what do we mean when we say that it is pure gold? We are saying that the gold is not mixed with other metals. If gold is the desired metal, then anything else mixed in it are impurities, whether or not they appear to enhance the quality of the jewelries made with it. When we say pure gold, it is not mixed. Likewise, being pure in heart is to have a heart not polluted by anything that is displeasing to God. It is without defilement in the sight of God. Now, it is true that the Scripture elsewhere teaches us that it is impossible for us in this life to be sinless and perfectly pure in our hearts. We were talking about this, or rather I was talking about this with two of our sisters earlier on, that even we as Christians, those who are born again, no one can claim to live a perfectly sinless Christian life. We may not be absolutely pure in our hearts in this life, on this side of eternity, because there is a remnant of corruption within every true believer. This we must recognize and this we must accept. There is this remnant of corruption within every truly born again Christian. However, thank be to God, the day will come when we shall indeed be perfectly pure. But not now. Not now. The fact that the Lord Jesus teaches, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," this beatitude, this sixth beatitude, "Blessed are the pure in heart," suggests that it is imperative that we must aim for purity in this life, but not aiming it in our own strength, but aiming to live a life of purity with the enabling of the Holy Spirit, even though it is not possible to be absolutely pure in this present moment for all of us as Christians. We must strive with the help of God through the Holy Spirit to aim, strive for purity, the kind of purity that the Bible talks about. And this being the situation, it follows that we should ask, what should we aim for in purity? This is the third point of this sermon. What should we aim for in purity? Let us consider three things that we should aim for in having a pure heart. Firstly, we should strive to be sincere in what we say or do. The psalmist says this, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Psalm 24, verses 3 to 4. The two words there, clean hands, signifies purity in deeds, and pure heart represent purity in conscience. And this is what we should aim for as Christians. Notice the poetic device of parallelism employed in Psalm 24. The psalmist, I repeat again, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord," is synonymous to "who shall stand in his holy place." Likewise, "he that hath clean hands and a pure heart" is synonymous to "he who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." That is the Hebrew parallelism here. The first aspect of purity of heart is that what is within us, in our hearts that is, must go with what we say or do. And if you recall what we heard just now through the DVD, the message, isn't it? That Mrs. Rachel, I think, said the same thing. We do what we say, we do what we mean, is it? "Having a pure heart, therefore, involves not swearing deceitfully," which also means sincerity. The first aspect of purity is that what is within us, as I said, must tally or go hand in hand with what we say or do. In other words, your life, my life, must be transparent so that when others look at us, they know that they are seeing the real you. No pretense. When they deal with us, they know that they are dealing exactly with you as you are. But sincerity is not enough, because we can measure sincerity by our own standard. And we can say that we are sincere in what we have said. But what we have said could be false in the first place. So then, there are many people whom we may consider to be sincere, though they are not Christians. And as the saying goes, yes, you may be sincere, but you are sincerely wrong. Purity of heart will therefore, secondly, requires that a person not only be sincere, but have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Acts 24, verse 16. Purity of heart requires that a person not only be sincere, but have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. In other words, he who is pure in heart is ready, prepared to stand before Christ, for he knows that his heart is not condemned, or his heart does not condemn him or her. Can you do that? if we are able to do that, stand before God with a clear conscience, as the saying goes. And God, who knows our heart and searches our heart, He knows whether we are true or sincere or not. We cannot lie to Him. 1 John 3:21 says this: Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And this is one secret formula, if you like, for answered prayers. If your heart does not condemn you when you stand before God, then you have confidence towards God. Then you can stand boldly before the throne of grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, and God will answer your prayers. If you are able, with a pure heart, appear before God. One who is pure in heart is confident that he has not acted in hypocrisy. He knows that he had not deliberately sinned against his conscience and against God. He knows that if he has sinned in words, deeds, or thoughts, it was either out of ignorance or he had repented and the blood of Christ covers him or her. He knows that his actions are governed by the word of God and the constraining love of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the description of one who is pure in heart. Thirdly, purity of heart is also holiness in life. The writer of Hebrews says this very clearly when he says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Hebrews 12:14. Since one who is pure in heart shall see God, so the one who is without holiness shall not see God. But what does it mean to be holy? And we all desire, which is a good desire, to live a holy life in the sight of God. But what is holiness? It means to be set apart. It does not mean washing yourself 10 times in a day, shower, make sure you are proper and trim. Holiness means to be set apart unto the Lord, to be separated from sin or the defilement of sin and consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means having a spirit of obedience and submission to God. It means living a life of obedience to the law of God and conformity to the word of God out of love for Him, not out of compulsion, not out of duty. It also means having a heart in absolute submission to the will of God. In other words, you cannot claim, you and I cannot claim to be pure in heart unless you know that your life is governed by a principle of consecration to the Lord. You cannot claim to be pure in heart unless your attitude, preferences, desire and will are captive and consistent to the word of God by the help of the Holy Spirit. As I said, we may not be perfectly have our preferences and desire come under the captive of God, but we must always strive to submit to the will of God, consistent to the word of God by His help. That must be our aim, that must be our goal. There are many who refuse to repent of their sin, yet claim that their conscience is clear and that they were sincere in what they did, but they forget that their conscience and sincerity not being governed by the principle of holiness can never be pure. I repeat this point again. Those who claim that they are sincere in what they did, they forget their conscience and sincerity not being governed by the principle of holiness can never be pure, according to the definition of the Bible. Fourthly, we want to consider Why is purity important? Why is purity important? It is important in the first place because it is commanded. It is a command for every Christian. We have seen that the Beatitude itself implies a command to be pure in heart. But what the Lord implied in His Beatitude, He had made clear much earlier. Where? Much earlier, the Lord Jesus has already said that and make it very clear to us. Be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. He said this through Moses in Leviticus 27. And also in 1 Peter 1 verses 15 to 16. Why is purity important? Secondly, because lest our prayers be hindered. Do you know that if we are, or there is impurity in our hearts, and as I said, our conscience condemn us, our prayers will be hindered. King David, who had on numerous occasions sinned grievously against the Lord, knew this very principle very well. And you all know this verse. And you have repeated it and recited it many times. What did David write? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66 verse 18. And then the prophet Isaiah, who was writing to encourage the people of God. The prophet Isaiah encouraged the people of God to call the Sabbath day a delight by keeping it holy. And what did the prophet Isaiah exclaim? He says this, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Isaiah 59 verses 1 to 2. So brethren, if you desire the Lord to hear your prayers, ask the Holy Spirit to first sanctify your heart. And I wrote an article on this subject of unanswered prayers in the hope to encourage some of you. I know that you have been praying very hard for many years for the desires of your heart, and the answer is not coming as you have expected, or not coming soon enough. I want to encourage you to keep praying. And one of the points here which we should reflect and ask ourselves, why is God delaying or denying my request? He should ask that whether is there any iniquities that separate us from God? Is there any sin in our lives or any idols that shut the ears of God from our prayers? If there is, let us ask for the Lord's mercy and ask that God, through His Holy Spirit, to sanctify our heart. Thirdly, why is it important for us, purity? We must be pure if we are to see God. Exactly what the Lord Jesus said. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does it mean to see God? I am not referring to some charismatic experiences and all these signs and wonders. What does it mean to see God? I submit to you that seeing God carries an eschatological sense of meeting and communing with God perfectly and infinitely. It is in a sense of, being fulfilled now in our relationship with the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus says this, He that has seen me has seen the Father. So then, our Lord Jesus is implying that purity is required of all who would enter into the kingdom of heaven. Peter tells us that our inheritance is in heaven, incorruptible and undefiled. 1 Peter 1:4. John, the Apostle John, tells us about heaven that there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Revelation 21, verse 27a. And this is why the author of Hebrews insists that without holiness or without purity, no man can see the Lord. Hebrews 12, 14. And let us bear in mind, as I've said before in my sermon, let us bear in mind that though justification and sanctification must be distinguished, they must not be divorced from each other. You cannot claim to be justified if sanctification is not evident in your life as a Christian. You cannot claim to be a Christian if purity of heart through the Holy Spirit is not operational in you. Finally, let us look at the way or the direction for cultivating purity of heart. I want to suggest a few ways for us. I begin with Ezekiel's warning. The prophet Ezekiel warns the Jew, and this warning is still holds true today and for us. Ezekiel says this: cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 18:31. And in the same way, the Apostle Paul says this: having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. This is one way, or the direction for cultivating purity of heart, is for us to take responsibility. Believers have a responsibility to continue fervently in cultivating purity in heart. As I said again, we may not be perfect, but we must always strive to cultivate purity in our heart. How? A few simple ways that I like to suggest is this. Firstly, we must guard the entrances to our hearts. What is the entrance of our hearts? Not our mouth. The Jews thought so. The Jews thought that they are supposed to make sure no defilement goes through their mouth. They thought that to be pure and holy, they must always wash their hands before eating, which of course we teach our children to do so. But that is not the biblical definition. The Lord Jesus corrected the Pharisee by saying what? That whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the trough. Mark 15:70. The entrance to our heart, and I'm sure you all know, and you have heard this before preached to you many times, the entrance to our hearts are rather our eye gate and our ear gate. The first sin, remember? The first sin. How did it begin? The first sin began with the eyes. We were told in Genesis, the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes. And since the fall of our first parent, the eyes continue to affect the souls of men. If you and I want to cultivate purity of heart, guard your eyes at all costs. Again, with the help of God through the Holy Spirit. Screen what you watch on TV and the internet carefully. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. While walking on the streets or wherever you may be, those things that are immoral or violent will pollute your heart. Therefore, avoid them. It is your responsibility, and Christians, truly born again Christians, you have the strength to make that decision. You have the strength to exercise that responsibility of not taking the second look. Now coming to the ear gate, likewise, it is an entrance to the heart. The heart can be polluted not only by sight, but also by sound. Music and songs that are designed to stir up immoral emotions are sure to pollute our heart. Listen to the filthy conversation, coarse jokes, and such lights, and you will fill your heart with filth. Beloved, let us set up sentries like the army over our eye gate and our ear gate for the sake of our heart. Secondly, to cultivate purity of heart, we must also guard our thoughts. One of the six things that the Lord hates, says Solomon, is what? An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Proverbs 6:18. Even if you guard the entrances to your heart very carefully, you cannot, and you and I cannot, escape from the impurity in our hearts. You have an enemy within, the remnant of our sinful nature. And that, again, we need the help of God to overcome that. Watch therefore, be very careful. Watch therefore the imagination and the thoughts of your heart. Allow, entertain, indulge in lustful, covetous thoughts, and you will defile your heart, and you can be sure that Satan will be there to take advantage of it. The moment, which you cannot prevent, the moment sinful thoughts, angry thoughts, resentful thoughts, bitterness or bitter thoughts that come to your mind, very quickly, in a practical way, occupy or fill it with something else. If you need to take a walk, go and take a walk to cool off, so to speak. You need something else, take out a book. If reading a book will help you to draw you from that thought, by all means do so. Each one of us, we have to find out our weaknesses. What will trigger all these angry thoughts, resentful thoughts, bitter thoughts, jealousy, all this welling up in our mind? You and I have to think about it. And whichever way works for you, do it. What you think and meditate has much to do with the purity of your heart. And that is why the Cantonese has this saying, Wu Xi Lin Xiong, Wu Si Luan Xiang. You know, sit down there idle, and as what the saying goes, right, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. And so you sit down in idling and so-called with emptiness, you can be very sure Satan will fill it with something else. Thirdly, remember that obedience to the word of God has much to do with purity of our hearts too. Obedience to the word of God has much to do with the purity of our heart. The Apostle Peter says of purifying the soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:22. How do we purify our soul or our heart? Obey the word or the truth through the Spirit. Every time you and I disobey the word of God, we defile our hearts and incur God's fatherly displeasure. Conversely, when we obey the word of God through the help of the Holy Spirit, then the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, will sanctify our hearts. Take heed, therefore, the Apostle Paul's exhortation to us is this: flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. And therefore, it is very important for us to be in Christian company, good Christian company, that will help us that will encourage us in our Christian life, in our Christian walk. Finally, prayer is essential for cultivating purity of heart. Pray. Use the Bible, the words of the Bible to pray. If you cannot or do not know what to pray or look at the Bible, use the words of the Bible to pray. Pray with the psalmist. The psalmist says what? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And there are many more verses in the Bible that we can use for our prayer. The next one I suggest that we need to pray daily. Psalm 51 verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So there is no excuse for us to say, I don't know how to pray. What words should I use? Use the word of Scripture. And in fact, the Puritans, they are very fond of doing that, using the word of Scripture in their prayer. Pray not just for health. Pray not just for your promotion. Pray not just that the Lord will bless you with money. Remember to pray more for your soul. This body will go. This body will go, but your soul will live forever. Therefore, we ought to pay more attention to our soul. If you want to cultivate spiritual purity, prayer is essential. It is essential because sanctification is a work of God in our soul. Paul makes this very clear when he says, for it is God, which I have quoted this morning, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God begins the work, and it is God who will continue that work in your heart through His Holy Spirit. But it is our responsibility to pray that God will continue that work. Because we can, by our sin, grieve and resist and quench the Holy Spirit. And therefore we ought to pray. Finally, beloved, we must ask ourselves, is our life characterized by holiness, sincerity, and freedom of guilt? We cannot purify our own hearts. And we all know, we studied this also during our prayer meeting. We cannot create in ourselves a merciful heart. We cannot create in ourselves all these beatitudes that Matthew 5 is talking about. It is only God through His Holy Spirit. But it is our duty to ask the Lord to sanctify us and to put in us, to implant in us, spiritually speaking, purity of heart. Solomon understood this when he said this: who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin? Nobody can say that. Proverbs 29. And Solomon knew that. Only God can give you a clean heart. If you recognize yourself to be a sinner deserving nothing but condemnation, then go to the Lord Jesus, pleading for His forgiveness of your sin, weeping for the hardness of your heart, and ask the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts, to melt our hearts of resistance, and ask God to begin that work of cultivating purity of heart. Unless Christ, the Lord Jesus, first sprinkles your heart with His blood, you can have no purity of heart, and you cannot expect to see God. But if you have purity of heart, brethren, and are cultivating it with the appointed means as I have suggested, you will see that God will indeed be faithful to bless and to bless you with joy and peace. And it will only get better if you and I do our part with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we can truly, as what Christ says, blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. And so may the Lord help us as we meditate upon this truth. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask for your help once again. We do recognize that we are unable to have this purity in our hearts. It is only through the blood of Christ that our hearts will be cleansed, washed, and sanctified. And Father, we pray for this work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We pray that your Holy Spirit will do this work of sanctification, of making our hearts pure day by day through your word and in prayer by the means of grace that you have graciously accorded to us. Help us, we pray. For we acknowledge that we cannot help ourselves, we cannot save ourselves, though we desire all these things, though we desire to cultivate the Beatitudes, to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit, yet we confess before you we are weak. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit will work in us as you have promised, and give us the patience to allow your Holy Spirit to do this work in our lives, in our hearts, gradually, day by day, and help us to patiently wait upon you. So, Father, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.